This podcast was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 26. I am your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is my coworker, Michael Morale. We are here for another roundtable discussion. Michael, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you?
Doing great. Well, today we are going to be talking about our college experiences. So we're going to do a discussion revolving about what it's like to go to college when you have SMA. And so I'm really excited about this one. And, you know, Michael and I are from two different generations. I'm sure we're going to have different experiences to share. So I'm really excited. So Michael, I'll get started by asking you. So what was it like for you when you were coming out of high school and going into college? You know, was there a big transition in cultural shock? What was that experience like?
You know, it's funny. I went to a very small grade school, small junior high, but I went to the largest high school in the world. Skyline High School was the largest high school in the world. During my first semester, they closed one of the campuses down in Japan or China that was bigger, but they closed it down and we became the largest high school in the world. So I came from a very large environment. So there wasn't really a lot of culture shock, you would say, because I was used to being around, you know, a large group of people. So college really wasn't that big of a deal for me. I know that, you know, it was spread out over a larger area than what our high school was. But with regards to the number of people or anything really surprising, I did find that I had more services available to me, you know, within the college, system. But really, everything was a smooth transition for me. How about you? What were some of the biggest things that you took into consideration when you were looking at colleges?
Sure. So I also went to a pretty large high school, actually, because I went to a magnet high school, which, you know, brought in students from across the county where I lived. So I was pretty used to the big environment already. And then I was always pretty interested in going to NC State. And that was sparked because I did a writing workshop there when I was in high school. And so I had already gotten to be a little familiar with the campus. And, NC State was just really practical for me because, NC State, it's North Carolina State University. I'm just so used to saying NC. But for those of you who are, you know, of course, outside the state. I was always interested in that as my number one college option. You know, it was close to home, which would give me the option of commuting. And it had, you know, a program I was interested in. So as far as, you know, the adjustment and everything, there was some things I adjusted to right away, others that took longer. Like you said, you know, there was different services I had in college that, whereas in, you know, from high school and, well, from elementary school through high school, I always had an adult aide with me. And of course, I didn't have that in college. And so I had to, you know, if I needed help around getting to class or whatever, I would have to ask friends or whatever. And then I did have note takers with me in class, which I'll get to a little bit later. But as far as the overall transition, I honestly was pretty excited about it. I know some people are pretty apprehensive about, you know, starting college and, you know, the whole experience. But I was really excited about it because even while I was living at home, I still had a lot of independence when I was there on campus. And it was just a lot. It was very liberating for me. So I enjoyed it quite a bit. I forgot to ask you we should have started with this, but what university did you go to and what was your major?
For my undergraduate degree, I went to the University of Texas at Dallas, and I got a Bachelor's of Science in Management Information Systems. And then for my master's, I went to a small Christian college. It was called Amber University. It's now Amberton University. They're a spinoff of Abilene Christian, but it's basically a Christian night college for adult students that are working full-time that want to go back and get their MBAs.
Gotcha. Cool. So, and then, you know, going into your undergrad, what was it like in terms of accessibility? And this I'm really interested in because I'm sure we're going to have different experiences with this. You went, you know, you're older than I am. I am at, like, my guess is that accessibility was tough at the time, but I'm curious about your experiences there.
Well, you know, accessibility really wasn't that big of a deal because the colleges that I went to were pretty much already set up with elevators and ramps and excuse me, everything that you needed. The services that are available today, because I taught college for 18 years after I got out of school, and I know that the services available today are a lot greater than what they were whenever I was in college. We did have people that would take notes if we needed it, but it would probably just be another student that would, they would give them the carbon paper where when they took notes, it would make a copy. So it wasn't as advanced as it is today with, you know, tablets and computers and everything. But, you know, I could have gotten somebody to take notes for me, but with regards to an aide that would, you know, be there for me during the day if I had to go to the bathroom or if I needed help eating, that really wasn't available. And if it was, I didn't know about it. But with regards to the campus itself was completely open. I could get to any class that I needed to. You know, there were no obstructions. There were no obstacles that I had to, you know, tell the college about. And if I did find something that I needed, I could go to my counselor or to the student services division and talk to them about it, and they would make sure that it got, you know, taken care of. All of that was really a non-obstacle for me, even though I didn't use a lot of services, because whenever I was in college, I was still strong enough to take notes myself. So I could write, I could take my own notes, I could still feed myself. And the only difficulty that I had was going to the bathroom, but I was usually only on campus for 3 or 4 hours at a time. So all of my courses were either like a Monday, Wednesday, or a Tuesday, Thursday. We never had Friday classes. So I was only there for, you know, 4, maybe 5 hours at the most. So going to the bathroom really wasn't that big of a deal for me. So I didn't need any help with regards to that aspect. But so those were just some of the things that I had to deal with. And I know today they're a lot different. But listen, Kevin, before I ask you the next question, let's just take a moment so our listeners can hear a word from our sponsor.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
Okay, Kevin. How did your level of independence change whenever you entered college?
Sure. So, like I mentioned, you know, I did commute from home my entire time as a student. But I still had to figure out a lot of things related to accessibility, independence, all of these things. And I think for me, you know, the biggest thing, like I said, was I didn't have an adult aide with me anymore. So I had to figure out how to, you know, get from class to class on my own, navigate campus. And I was very active in student life, and I worked for the school newspaper, and I was in a campus ministry. So I was very active. So whereas you said you were only spending, you know, a few hours on campus, really per week, you said, I was actually there quite a lot during the day. Before I had caregivers, my mom would drop me off in the morning, and granted, my schedule would change day to day depending on class schedule and all that. But for a lot of times, you know, I was on campus for most of the day. I had my service dog with me. You know, I did have I wear a catheter, so I don't have to worry about bathroom issues there. But I had to figure out, you know, how to get lunch in between classes, how to get to work later if I needed to, all these things. And, you know, whereas you said that you still had quite a bit of arm strength and everything at the time, this was actually the point where I was losing a lot of my upper body strength. And I've mentioned this before and written about it. But yeah, that was, so when I was in college and before I got my Jayco robotic arm, I was, you know, 100% reliant on other people to help me eat and all that. So I pretty much had to I had to make sure that I had someone eating with me every day. If I knew that I had to be on campus for lunch, then I had to make sure someone was going to be there to help me. And this is where it helps that I'm very extroverted and I know a lot of people. So it wasn't really a problem for me, but still it was a lot to manage. I had to figure out, you know, I couldn't just, you know, be left alone and be, you know, and get all my books and everything on my own. I had to have pretty much constant help with everything. And so because of that, I built a lot of relationships with people during my time as a student, and friends were more than willing to help me. But yeah, so it was little things like that, managing all of the nuances of, you know, just getting from class to class and then getting lunch, making sure I could be on campus on my own for an extended period of time. And then as far as accessibility with NC State, it's interesting, cause, and I'll get this more when we talk about what kind of services we use, but NC State has a great disability services department. But the thing about NC State is that I was a humanities student, so I majored in English with a concentration in film studies, and NC State is very known for its agriculture and engineering department. So the humanities department is relatively new, and the building where most of my classes were is a very modern building that is maybe 20 years old, if that. I'm not really sure what year it was built, but it's much more modern. But a lot of the other buildings on campus that are much older, especially some of the science buildings, those are nearly impossible to navigate. They are not up to date with accessibility, and they have, you know, ramps that lead straight up to a step and all of this. And so I was fortunate enough that I didn't really have to have classes in a lot of those buildings, but it was just, that was the fascinating thing to me about the campus as a whole, is that there were parts of it that were hugely accessible and I had no problems with. And then others where it would just be, you know, either, you know, cracks along the, along the sidewalk, or elevators that are really hard to find, or that would be, on and off or whatever. There was a big, because like, I mean, NC State is such a large campus, there's a lot of variation there in terms of accessibility. So I would say I had a really good experience, but I do think that the campus as a whole, you know, could improve in accessibility. They've made giant leaps. There's others to be made in the future. But yeah, so that's kind of a long-winded answer of how my accessibility was like and what kind of things I did to be more independent. This was also the time where halfway through college, that's when I started acquiring caregivers, and I hired a couple friends to be my caregivers with me to drive me around to and from campus. And that was huge for me. That helped my independence a lot. So overall, yeah, it was a huge time for me in terms of becoming more independent. So on that note, I want to talk a little bit about, before we get to kind of like the services we use, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, because I knew you were in a fraternity. Could you talk about that, and then in other ways that you were involved in, student life outside the classroom?
Yeah, so with regards to the fraternity, whenever I went to UT Dallas, I knew that I wanted to get involved in some of their other activities that they had. So I pledged Alpha Kappa Psi, which was a co-ed business fraternity. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, business fraternity. Wow, I bet that was boring. No, we had some cake parties that would put some of the social fraternities under. But I stayed there for about a year, year and a half as a member. And then I was elected president of the fraternity. And so we did a lot of community outreach programs. We worked with the Special Olympics, which was phenomenal to work with. All of my members, we actually required our pledges that they had to do 40 hours of community service. So we let them pick the first 30 hours that they wanted to do, whether it be a soup kitchen, a homeless shelter, wherever. And then the last 10 hours, myself and my executive committee got to pick what they had to do. And so the Special Olympics was coming into town, and we had the pledges work with us during the Special Olympics. And it was a great time. Everybody got assigned an athlete, and we were responsible for that person. And so we did a lot of really good things in the fraternity. Not to say we also had quite a few very, very wild parties, and we had a good time. It was definitely the college experience that I was looking for. How about you?
That's really cool. Yeah, no, I was also very involved in college, in student life. I wasn't in Greek life, but I had two big organizations I was involved in. So one was the student newspaper, The Technician, which I started my second semester, my freshman year. I went in and started as a writer on the news staff. And, you know, I got a lot of my interest in journalism from my parents. Both of them were journalists. And so I started out there on news, but I really became established in the features section because I was kind of the arts and entertainment guru at the time. And so I was writing a lot of movie reviews and doing interviews with local artists and filmmakers, and that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I made, you know, some lifelong friends there at the paper. And then I eventually worked my way up to becoming features editor my junior year, which, you know, I learned a lot that year, because I learned about, you know, I always encourage people, students with disabilities, whether you have SMA or another disability, you know, when you go to college, absolutely get involved in campus life, but you don't want to overload yourself. And I definitely did when I was features editor, because I was doing that. I was, you know, having a full course load. And I was also involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is a campus ministry I did throughout my time as a student as well. And trying to juggle all of that was pretty nightmarish. And I look back on it and wonder how I did it. You know, the answer is I barely got by in terms of classes and all that. I definitely did better as a student once I finished my time at the paper and focused solely on school. But nonetheless, it was a really great experience for me, and I wouldn't take it back, because, you know, I got to work with some great people. I had a lot of great memories there. But it also was very exhausting, because there were days where I would, you know, have two or three classes during the day and then go straight to the office for production night and, you know, be there on production nights till about midnight. And then my caregivers would pick me up after that. So it was a pretty exhausting schedule, but somehow I managed. But yeah, so, you know, I was very active. I did quite a bit as a student. And then I was also involved in things with the English department, because the English department is much smaller than a lot of others. And so I was kind of one of the ambassadors there, and got to know the head of the department pretty well. And so I had a lot of great experiences. And, you know, and again, it's something I really encourage any student. But especially if you're a student with SMA or another disability, don't feel like, oh, I can't be involved in something like this because my disability is going to prevent me from doing this. And that's not true at all. It's very possible for you to get into student life. You just have to kind of give it an effort. So yeah, the student newspaper and then InterVarsity were two great organizations for me. And like you said, even though, like, I was the ultimate nerd, and I was in, you know, those were the main organizations I was in, I still had a lot of good times in college, and, you know, went to bowling alleys and house parties and all these things. And, you know, anytime there was an issue of, like, you know, if a house had a step or something, friends would be more than willing to carry me in the house. You know, I definitely had that happen several times. And so there's always a way to work around that stuff. But
yeah, you know, it's funny that you talk about that, because we went out one time. We would always go out to a place called the West End, which is a little hangout in Dallas.
Yeah.
It's in the downtown area. And they had different restaurants and everything. And we would always go to this one restaurant. It was called Dick's Last Resort. They didn't have ramps. And so the only way for me to get in there was for somebody to carry me in. So there was always the same cop, because just imagine, this is set up like on a street type setting, where you got this long, you know, area where people can walk around, but they've got different shops and they had different restaurants. So the restaurant that we always went to, like I said, was Dick's Last Resort. And there was always a cop outside that building that would watch people go by. So I couldn't take my wheelchair in there because it wasn't big enough and it was way too many steps. So we would leave my wheelchair outside, and this cop would always stand next to my wheelchair. And I would imagine he probably sat in it a few times as well. But they would carry me in and, you know, take me up to the bar and put me on one of the bar stools. And so I remember a funny story was, while we were there one time, all of my friends were sitting on my left-hand side. And this guy came in. Apparently, he saw them carry me in. And he asked me, he said, "Do you mind if I ask you what happened?" And I knew right then and there I was going to have to jack with this guy, because I was just going to have some fun with him. And one of the guys that was sitting next to me, his name was Mark, he just looked at me and he just got this look on his face like, "Oh no, please don't do this." So I told him, I said, "Well, the reason why I can't walk is it's an old football injury." And he looked at me, and of course all of my friends are just falling out of their chairs because they know what I'm going to do. And he just looked at me. He said, "Football injury?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "What college did you play for?" And I told him, I said, "University of Texas." He goes, really? And I had my class ring on. So he said, what position did you play? And I said, I was a linebacker. And now, of course, you could look at my little 145-pound frame body and tell that there was no way on God's green earth that I was a linebacker. But he fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And I ended up getting two beers out of it. And the guy finally left, and my friends were just dying. They said, don't you feel bad about doing that? I said, no, I got two beers out of it. I'm good with it.
Well, so, I'll tell you a story kind of similar. Not quite. I didn't have to lie this time, but in a way that my disability got me perks. So there was this bowling alley my friends and I always went to that was right across from campus. And, you know, it's this really old school one, really cheap beer and food. And, you know, the alley was on like a level above the main entrance, but instead of like a regular elevator, they had one of those like really old school lifts. I don't know if you've ever been through in one of those. They're like basically just like a square shaped, almost more like a box than an actual elevator.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'm in, so I get in there, and you know, the person working there always had to operate it. So they're shooting me up, and it got stuck halfway in the middle there. And it, you know, I mean, I'm really just like a few feet below, but you know, I'm just stuck. And so they got it fixed within a few minutes. I wasn't really worried or anything. So they bring me up, and then on the way out, the employees gave my friends and I 10 free passes for the next time we came in. I was like, see, I have my perks here. But yeah. Oh, you got it?
Yeah, well, I've got friends that whenever we go to a Ranger game, I've got friends that still tell me the only reason why they really love me going is because we get great parking. Membership has its privileges, you know?
It really does. It really does. So that's funny, though. Well, very cool. And then going back to, you know, accessibility and what kind of services you used. Did you have any kind of disability services department at UT that you used, or were you just kind of on your own?
We did. And I kind of touched on it earlier, but we did have a disability services. It was kind of rolled into student services. It was all one group. But I never really dealt with them too much because even though I still had the ability to take notes and everything, there were times that I may have had an off day where I did go by there and get some of that paper that the other students could use, and they always kept me fully stocked on that as well. So if I needed somebody to take notes, the professors that I took all knew that, you know, okay, hey, he's just having an off day, somebody take notes for him. Or if for some reason, I think I remember a few of my professors giving me verbal exams versus ones that I would have to write, because back whenever I was in school, we didn't, even though we had multiple choice tests, you know, the Scantrons, I still had a lot of professors that did essay type exams. So what they would do is they would pull me aside and, you know, take me out in the hall and just ask me questions, and I would just verbally give them the answer. And usually that always worked out better for me because I can sell a pig a ham sandwich. So I figured that if I could talk my way through a question, I might not get it completely right, but he had to score me on some of it because I knew that I could convince him that I knew what I was talking about. So
right.
that was really the only really services that I used. Most of the professors were really agreeable. If I needed help or if I needed something, then it wasn't a real strict standard. So, you know, everything was fluid. Everything changed day by day. But if I needed help, they were always there. So how about you? What kind of assistive services did you use? I know that you touched briefly on some of it.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, NC State has a really great disability services department. And the reason I'm most thankful for them is because they were the ones who I met with them. Right before I started as a student, I remember my mom and I went toward the end of my senior year of high school to go visit with DSO. And they were the ones who pointed me to Vocational Rehabilitation Services, which is a government organization that helps a lot with students with disabilities, both, you know, when they're in college and then, you know, getting jobs afterwards. And they were the ones who actually paid for my tuition, which was, you know, of course, I owe a huge debt of gratitude to. And so So disability services at state pointed me to them. But as far as the services I used them for during my time as a student, I did use note takers in class, not for every class, you know, because by the time I got to my junior and senior year, a lot of my courses were much more discussion oriented. So I, you know, there, it wasn't like I, you know, an engineering student is just going to lectures and stuff like that. I had more, you know, like literary and film discussions and creative writing courses, that kind of thing. But for a lot of my general ed requirements, you know, the note takers were extremely helpful. And I still had, you know, several, my junior and senior year, but, and some I became actually quite good friends with. So I had that. And then I also had testing accommodations. So like if I would usually take all of my exams in the disability services office just because it made it easier just in case, like I needed extended time or I needed, you know, someone to transcribe for me, any of that, they were always willing to provide. So I had that option for every class. I could have a note taker, and then testing accommodations. And, like you, my professors would also, you know, send me notes as well, or they would, I mean, my professors were always really accommodating if I needed anything, like, if a project would be too physically difficult for me to do, they would help me develop an alternative. It didn't really have much, but, and then I would also do things like, in my creative writing courses, we would have to, send all of our stories to, other students to review and all that. And so I asked my professors if, students could just email me their stories so that I could read them on my iPad and take notes there, because I knew that would be a lot easier for me than to have to, handwrite notes and read through, you know, printed copies. So things like that were always helpful. But yeah, so those were the main university services I used. And then aside from that, you know, I hired friends as caregivers on my own. I always had friends to help me, that kind of thing. But yeah, so NC State was very accommodating in that regard. And, you know, those were the kind of services I needed, were just, you know, basic physical assistance with note taking and that kind of thing. But I get moving toward kind of the last part of our discussion. So what recommendations would you have for listeners out there who have SMA and are thinking about going to college? You know, what advice do you have for them?
I would say take advantage of every opportunity that's given you. You know, these colleges now, especially, you know, given the fact that, you know, we're so technologically advanced, you know, everybody carries a smartphone, everybody's got a tablet. You know, there's a lot more now that's offered to students than there were whenever I was going to school. So I would say, you know, don't be embarrassed about asking for help. I think a lot of people feel very uncomfortable with asking for help. And you would be surprised at the amount of people that are willing to help you. They're willing to bend over backwards to try to make your college experience a successful one. So go through your disability services organization, go through your student services organization, and find out what they have to offer. You know, a lot of people don't realize that they may offer some services that would come in very handy to you. So I would just say, don't be afraid to ask, because, you know, if you don't ask, you don't know. And I think by just asking a simple question, if it can make it easier for you to spend the next 2 to 4 years of your life in school, then why not take advantages of those opportunities? So how about you, Kevin? What kind of advice do you have for other individuals who have SMA about going to college?
Well, I 100% agree about, you know, how important it is to ask for help, and that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, and, you know, people always ask me in college how I knew so many people. And, you know, the simple answer is, A, I have had a service dog with me at the time. I still have the service dog, but she's just with me at home now. But, you know, between that and then, yeah, just asking, you know, strangers for help on campus, I was rarely met with any, I would almost 100, almost 99% of the time, I was met with people who were more than willing to help me, whether it was opening a door, you know, moving my hand, helping me get to my phone, anything like that. So, you know, I would say if you are someone with SMA and you are considering college but apprehensive about the whole idea of it, just know that it is more than possible. I mean, because, you know, and I've talked to people who have, you know, said, oh, I can't go to college because, I mean, I can't, you know, have an aide with me or this, and this. And I hate to tell you that, like, those are just excuses they're making up, because there is no, I mean, in this day and age especially, there is no reason why you can't go away. I mean, there are numerous resources out there. There are people that can help you. There are so many opportunities. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to go to college, but I would say if it's something you want, I say 100% go for it, because my college years were some of the best years of my life, and I definitely wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't, you know, gone. And it's just, it's hard to put into words, you know, just how much you grow in that time, how many people you meet, all the opportunities you get to experience. It's just invaluable. I mean, it's just, there's so much to take in there. And so I would say go for it. I mean, there are people who can help you. You'll never know if you don't give it a try. So
yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize too that a lot of these services are free. They don't charge for, 95 or 99% of what you ask for, they'll give you for free if you need somebody to help you eat, you know. And I think that was the biggest thing, because there were times that I was really hungry and I didn't even think about asking somebody to help me. I just waited till I got home. So a lot of these services, note takers, you know, any time that they can do something for you, it's usually a free service provided by the school. So don't let money be an issue to keep you from asking the question.
No, don't let that be an issue. Don't let, you know, just the limits of your disability, because I mean, I am someone who I was very limited physically when I entered college. My arm strength was rapidly deteriorating. I did not have, you know, my Jayco arm like I do now. I had to be very reliant on other people to help me. And, you know, I mean, it's not always fun asking for people for help, but I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I didn't use that as an excuse to not go to college, you know? I mean, because just the friendships I've made in my college years, you know, the career opportunities it gave me, the people I met, all of these things were just, I mean, I can't put into words how grateful I am for all of that. So I say absolutely go for it.
Exactly. Okay, well, great, Kevin.
Cool.
Listen, there's just one other thing that I want to touch on.
Yeah, sure.
We at SMA News Today, for those of you that are listening, we have a new service on our website where all of our podcasts and flash briefings, all of our YouTube videos are now available for you to watch on our website itself. You don't have to go to YouTube. You don't have to go to other areas. If you're on our website, just go to the multimedia link or the tab up on the top right-hand corner, and you have access to everything that we do, and it's all free of charge. There's no charge for this service. We do it to keep everybody informed of SMA-related topics within the SMA community.
Absolutely. And yes, thank you for all our listeners out there. And we will be back soon for another roundtable discussion, and I'll be doing another interview soon with someone in the SMA community. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor. We will talk to you next time.
And I'm Michael Morelli. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcasts and flash briefings can be found by going to our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morelli, Multichannel Content Director.